You're listening to the Jason Greger Show, presented by PlayAlberta.ca. Right now, use promo code SPORTS20. That's promo code SPORTS20 to get a free $20 bet at PlayAlberta.ca. Mike, how you doing?
Hey, doing well. How about you?
I'm excellent. I'm a little better than the offense of the Seattle. Oh my goodness. I don't even know if I can give them a moniker right now, because last night they looked like a shell of themselves. Russell Wilson, they're not going to their playmakers in games, and the Seahawks just simply couldn't score points last night. And so the question I have, Mike, do you think the Russell Wilson era is over, or is the head coach going to leave first?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting this offseason. I wouldn't be surprised if there's some major changes. You know, Shane Waldron was brought in to fix the offense. That hasn't worked, and it's not even like it's stagnant. It's just terrible, right? It's not average. It's not even below average. It's just they cannot move the football. They cannot convert on third down. It's really, really poor, and it's unacceptable. When you have DK Metcalf and you have Tyler Lockett and you have Russell Wilson especially, there's no excuse for it. So I would not be shocked if there's major changes. I'm not sure if it's going to be a head coaching change or if Wilson will move on or both. But, you know, there was some chatter that Russ may be in his last season anyway, even if they had a good year. So, I'm starting to feel like maybe 70-30 that he's on a new team next year. But that's just my instinct based on what we've seen over the past year and what's gone on this season. But, yeah, it's very, very disappointing. And he did come out okay, right? Early in the season, he had some big games. But the wheels have really fallen off since he's been back. So I'm curious to see if they get it going soon. Big divisional game this week. But, I mean, their playoff chances are pretty much close to dead already. So they're going to have to turn it around and get a big win streak going to even have a chance to get in.
Oh, yeah. I think the playoff, the train to the playoffs left. They're not I don't see them. I don't see them getting on board that train at all. Like, they're 3-8, for goodness sake. So they're not winning, what I got, 6 games left. They'd have to, that just gets them to 9-8. So to me, the season's done.
Yeah.
But, you know, we talk about play call and everything, Mike. They've got Metcalf. And I've seen a lot of people saying, like, they at times, Russell Wilson, he's not even looking his way. So what do you make about just the play calling in general? You've got an elite big play receiver, and you're not even throwing the ball.
Yeah. Well, first of all, I was just going to point out that the Washington football team right now is in the playoffs. You know, they have the 7 seed of 5-6. So technically, if they were to rip off, you know, go 5-1 or 6-0, you know, maybe by some miracle they could slip in. But I agree with you that it's very much a long shot. You know, as for Metcalf, you know, I agree. We all watched the game last night. There was no excuse for him to not see a target until late in the third quarter. It just didn't make sense. I mean, you just watching the broadcast and listening to the broadcast, it was clear that there were situations where he was one-on-one in man coverage, and Russ never even looked at that side of the field. So I don't really know. I mean, earlier in the season, he was handling a pretty big target share. Russ admitted after the game that they have to get him the ball more often. So, you know, hopefully it was just a one-time thing. You know, generally his target shares are pretty high. That was his lowest target share of the season. But that just can't happen, especially when you're in a situation like that, a close game where you need to win, to not be utilizing him that way. It doesn't make much sense. So I suspect that'll be rectified in the future.
Now, we look at other teams around the Vikings are a team that they just can't seem to win. They're the only team that's had a 7-0 lead in all 11 games this year, yet they're only 5-6. Like, they're the only team to ever lead by, I shouldn't say 7-0, just led by 7 points at one point in every game. And they're still only 5-6.
Yeah, the Vikings are a team I was very high on this year. They just had a lot of personnel. They fixed the defense, at least on paper, with a lot of key acquisitions and players returning from injury or the COVID list. And it looked like they were going to bounce back. And you know what? Honestly, you know, you look in depth at, you know, statistically, you know, kind of a deep dive into their efficiency. And they look decent. You know, they look like a decent football team. The defense is much better, and the offense is, you know, Kirk Cousins is playing at a high level, and the offense has been scoring points. So the only thing that hasn't followed is the win-loss record, and again, that's going to have to change. They had a big opportunity to get to 6-5 and beat the 49ers this past week. That would have been huge. That would have put them in a playoff spot, and instead they're on the outside looking in because they couldn't get it done again. So the good news is, the schedule the rest of the way is pretty light. You know, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Chicago, that's 3 straight winnable games coming up. then they have the Rams and Packers in week 16 and 17. Obviously, both of them are tough, and then they finish up with Chicago. But that's at least four winnable games. You pull off an upset over the Rams or Packers, and you're sitting pretty. So there is reason for optimism. I do think this team is better than their record, but they have to show it, because this is a couple seasons in a row now that they've underachieved.
Mike Clay joins us from ESPN. Mike, the Saints were 5-2. Suddenly, they've lost four straight. They're still 5-6 because right now you've got six teams in the NFC. And I wouldn't even say the 49ers are safe by any stretch. But, you know, the Packers, Bucks, Cardinals, Cowboys, and Rams, I think, are all playoff teams. So that leaves lots of teams battling for those final two wild card spots. The 49ers have won three in a row. They're now 6-5. But Washington, Vikings, Atlanta, the Saints, Eagles and Panthers have all five wins. The Eagles and Panthers, though, have seven losses, so that probably puts them out of it. Out of Washington, Minnesota, Atlanta, and the Saints, who do you like best to get to the postseason?
I would say Minnesota. I think they're the best team coming into the season, or maybe Washington. I mean, they're right there as well. Just more uncertainty at the quarterback position. What's Taylor Heinicke going to bring to the table going forward this season? Also, they have more of a mid-pack schedule where, as pointed out, Minnesota has one of the easiest remaining schedules this season. And actually, you know, I have the Packers with the easiest going forward. I have the Eagles with the second easiest. So it would not surprise me at all if they jump into that conversation. Now, they can't blow games like they did against the Giants, but I think if you watched that game, you felt like it was a lot of you know, kind of self-inflicted errors, right? I mean, they looked like the better team most of that game, and they just kept messing up time after time after time. It was a very frustrating game to watch. So I would keep an eye on them as well. But Washington and Minnesota were both teams I felt were playoff teams coming into the season. They've underachieved so far, but they're still in position to jump in there. So they're the teams I'd keep an eye on.
Mike Clay from ESPN. Mike, let's have a little fantasy chat now. Injuries have been prevalent for a lot of positions all the time. We see McCaffrey once again injured. Swift is hurt. So how high are you on Williams moving forward in Detroit?
Yeah, so it may just be a week or two for Jamal Williams replacing DeAndre Swift. So don't go over the top with him, you know, because he might not be a startable commodity after this week. But I do like him for this week. Minnesota has been a little below average in terms of slowing down running backs, so it's a decent matchup. I have him ranked 17th this week, so if he's out there on waivers, you scoop him up, you could fire him up in your lineup here in week 13. So, yeah, definitely a guy that has some short-term value.
Anybody else you see due to injuries or recent play that is somebody to keep your eye out for if anybody's desperate on the waiver wire this week?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Alexander Mattison's out there, you got to scoop him up right away. He's the better add than even Jamal Williams. Dalvin Cook's probably going to miss two games. It could be three, but Madison has already shown he can be a top five fantasy running back when Cook's out. He's done that twice already this season. So, again, if he's on your waiver wire, he's a big priority. You know, he can make, if you're close to getting into the playoffs, he can be huge for you these next couple of weeks and give you that push. Would not shock me at all if he sees somewhere in the range of 25 touches each of the next 2 weeks. So big priority there to get Madison. You know, I mentioned Jamal Williams. He would be next in line in terms of priority. And then that's pretty much the guys at running back, at least, that I feel confident starting. Then you start to get down to like Rex Burkhead and Tevin Coleman, who are technically short-term lead backs, but not guys you're super fired up to have in your lineups right now.
Mike, I want to ask you, if you look at the matchup Chicago and you had to pick one receiver in Arizona, would you take Rondale Moore or Christian Kirk this week against Chicago?
I'm going to go with Christian Kirk. He's been more productive. He's playing more snaps. So it's really that simple. I mean, Rondale Moore is fourth in line. Pretty clearly, the target share has not been great when the other guys have been healthy, not to mention that we haven't really seen an extended look at everybody together, right? You know, so we haven't had DeAndre Hopkins and AJ Green on the perimeter with Christian Kirk, Rondale Moore in the slot, and then Zach Ertz also is a full-timer up to speed with the offense. You know, a lot of the guys have been out, missed time. We may get that this week. It's possible. If Hopkins and Kyler are back, the only guy that would be missing is Chase Edmonds out of the backfield, but he'll be back soon. So, you know, that's good for the Cardinals, not so good for Rondale Moore, really not good for any of the wide receivers. I mean, DeAndre Hopkins' targets are already down when he's been active this season. And then, again, most of that was before Zach Ertz was acquired. So it's going to be tough to keep all these guys happy in fantasy. But if you're picking one for your flex this week, I would lean towards Christian Kirk.
What about Sonny Michel for the Rams? See someone to pick up? Do you think just because of injuries he'll get some time this week? And what about Darrell Williams out of KC?
Yeah, so Clyde Edwards-Helaire, three of his past four games, well, actually his last three full games, he's been a top 20 fantasy running back. I don't think people realize that he's been pretty productive because of that long-term injury and the slow start in weeks one and two. So he's the guy there. I mean, Darrell Williams is a fine bench hold, but that's it. He'll have starting value if Edwards-Helaire goes down again. As for Sonny Michel, yeah, I mean, there's a short list of backup running backs who are well worth stashing on your bench regardless of who's on your roster. Alex Mattison, who we talked about, was one of them. You know, it doesn't matter if you have Dalvin Cook. That's the kind of guy you keep on your bench, because if Cook goes down, you suddenly have yourself a potential league winner, and that's the situation right now. Sonny Michel fits that billing as well, because Darrell Williams is questionable right now, and if he does miss time, and he's had a share of injuries during his career, Michel will jump up into that borderline RB1 conversation. So, yes, if he's on waivers in your league, you got to scoop up Sonny Michel. Darrell Henderson, I would say, is probably 50-50, maybe a little bit more on the probable side for week 13. But again, if he misses time at any point over the next, say, 5 weeks, Sonny Michel is going to be a lineup lock for sure. So get him on your bench.
Love it. Mike, always good to catch up to you. Right now, today, when you crunch all of your numbers, is there one team that you feel is the best team in the NFL?
Of all years to ask that question, this may be the toughest, right? I think there is an answer to this question, though. And for me, it is Arizona. They were rolling with Kyler Murray, right? We know that. They were winning. They opened the season 4-5, 6-7-0. They lost to the Packers by 3, one of the best teams in the league. Fine, you can accept that. They beat the 49ers easily without Kyler Murray. Then they get crushed by Carolina. You didn't have Kyler Murray or DeAndre Hopkins, right? You were missing a lot of pieces. Fine, we can accept that. And then without Kyler again, they beat Seattle, a big divisional game, you know? So that's two division wins without Kyler Murray on the road. To me, they are the team that has been the most dominant. You know, they, again, won the 3-point loss to one of the best teams in the league with Kyler, and 2-1 without him. I mean, they have an outstanding defense. They're loaded on offense. As long as they make efficient offensive decisions, which has been a problem at times, they should be fine. I mean, I really think they are the best team right now.
Love it. Mike, always great to catch up with you, man. I appreciate it.
All right, you got it. Have a good one.